Greetings. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, amen. Our wonderful Counselor, amen. The beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. I believe those two are the same. Alpha and Omega, and the beginning and the end are the same. Not sure where all to go this morning. I do want to first and foremost express my feelings of, again, it's good to be back in the body of Christ this morning. Gather together to worship. I want to say thank you to all of you that prayed for us while we were gone. I was hoping that Benji would expound on a few more things than he did on that journey, but that's okay. We could feel that the prayers from the saints. It's truly, truly true what Benji shared. We were on the other side of the world, and we were preaching a message that many never heard. So as I was sitting there this morning and Benji was sharing his heart here, I do believe that it's the world is in great need of a church like that is sold out for Christ. I was also want to thank Brother Jerry for the meditation this morning. Your position in Christ. I got a question for myself and all of us in here. Do you know your position in Christ? If we today come to know our position in Christ, we will have that church. It's just that simple. We have that church. And it's so needful, brothers and sisters. As we went, I guess I'd be truthful, I never was involved with that much preaching in my life. It was very fulfilling. I mean, we went to the prison the first day and they put us on the schedule there for twice a day there, and then I thought, okay, that won't be bad. We'll do just fine. Well, I dropped Benji and Brian off to the park, and I had to go do some things, and I come back, and they said, well, we're coming back here every day at 11:30, and we're preaching here every day. And we had made out to go to another village or city or whatever you want to call it, to meet a man that we met on the boat. By the way, the boat ride across the ocean, Benji was sitting on the bench there, and he said, should I go up there and preach? And I said, yeah, go up there and preach. Go. So he gets up in front of the boat, and he starts preaching. And it wasn't long, there were people coming out of the front cabin of the boat. And I punched Brian and said, look what's happening. Look what's happening. Finally, this old man with a bill cap on, he gets off his seat and he moved closer to Benji. Praise the Lord. And here we were hesitating. Here Benji was hesitating. Should I not? You know what I mean? It says preach the word in season and out of season. Amen. So anyways, after Benji was finished, he sat down, and this old man came and sat down beside us. And we don't know where he's at today. We never did meet him again. But anyway, he wanted a Bible. He never had a Bible. But he proclaimed that he was a Christian. Again, no Bible. So we made out to meet him in this village to give him a Bible on Saturday morning. And so we went over there Saturday morning. Of course, we didn't find him, but praise the Lord, we met a bunch of people there in this park, and we started preaching to them. And praise the Lord, we had an audience of, 150? And they invited us back every day at 1:30 in the afternoon. But anyways, there's a lot more could be said on that. Things didn't go so well there the next day or the day after that, I'm not sure. We did get some conflict with two priests came out, and they decided that this is enough of this stuff. I'm going to get these three evangelists out of here. But praise the Lord, again, God was merciful, and he was showed us that, again, that wasn't a private property. It was a public property, so we was able to go there every day and share the word of God. That's a little bit of a rundown of our week there, our 11 days there. It was very very intense at times. But I think this morning, just give you a little update on Leonardo and his family there. I walked into his little hut there, and it was a meeting that I'll never forget. Leonardo was, the time before that I was there, Leonardo was sitting on his bed, and his arms were all curled up, and he couldn't move his arms. His legs were all curled up. He couldn't move his legs. If you would try to straighten out his legs, they would curl back up underneath him. And he was laying in this hard bed with bed sores. That was the last time I saw Leonardo back in October. I left there, and I made a comment that Leonardo's not going to make it. And God, unless God performs a miracle. And praise God, God performed a miracle. I was getting emails giving me some of the updates on Leonardo, and in my mind I was saying, you know what? I just wonder if it's really that way, because I could not imagine. So I was anticipating and seeing him still laying in his bed and possibly being able to get, maybe throw his legs outside of the bed and possibly maybe a little bit better. But I walked in there and he was literally sitting on a chair by himself, a chair. And that would have never been possible back in October. And his feet were literally sitting on the floor flat-footed. And he literally gained 25 or maybe 35 pounds. And I said, yeah, he's sitting there. So we embraced each other. And his wife said, he can walk. So Leonardo gets up on his feet with a little bit of assistance from his wife, and he walks. He's walking. And it just, it done something within that I can't explain. I believe we as Americans forget that God can still do miracles today. And I believe that And I say these things carefully. I believe we forget that he can do miracles today for a reason, that maybe we have too much silver and gold. Because when Peter walked up to that man and sitting on the steps, what did he say? Silver and gold have we none. But what we have, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And I know we need things to live on. I understand all that, and I say these things carefully, but can we say the first part? Silver and gold have we none. But I believe it's very important to what we do with our silver and gold, our resources. Because I believe that this body here has donated some money for Leonardo, and by the way, before I left, Leonardo's wife said I was supposed to tell the church thank you. Thank you for contributing to their cause. Because it is, with no doubt in my mind, it is the reason, one of the reasons. I know God has a lot to do with this. But if they wouldn't have any finance resources, he would be gone today, I would say. So she sincerely, from the bottom of her heart, thanked y'all for the resources. She wanted to be sure that I told the church that. Leonardo is doing well. He's doing well. He's still, I think, he's about 2 months away from walking on his own. He does need a little assistance yet, but very little. I wanted to kind of know how much, so he laid his hand on my shoulder and we walked, and he puts very little weight on you. He does most of it himself. So, and he's walking out across the, not a nice smooth sidewalk neither. I mean, just rough terrain. And so, again, I say thank you, Jesus, for the miracle that took place there. At the jail, again, I don't want to spend a lot of time there. There's lots of things happening there in the jail. Again, they were very thankful for the contribution that was brought from here, and I just want to give you a few items that we bought for them, was able to provide for them. One was rice. By the way, they eat rice every day, twice a day, three times a day, and they mix a little fish with it. And you and I know I wrinkle my nose up at that fish. It stinks. But this is how they do it. They got whatever dilapidated sawhorses out there, and they lay a big sheet of something out there, and here's where they dry their fish. And you kind of want to take the circle around it. You want to see what it is, but then you just want to kind of, but that's what they eat. So he was able to buy them rice. By the way, rice over there is not cheap. It's very expensive. We bought 10 bags of rice, and if I remember right, the bill for that was 21,000 pesos, which is, I'm not even sure what the count, divide that by 46, and you'll get your American dollars. But another thing that we was able to provide for them is their slippers are wore out. By the way, how do you think, why do their slippers wear out? They never walk around much or anything. So anyways, we got slippers for them. And of course, toiletry. Hygiene products, toothbrushes, toothpaste, soap. And one of the last things we bought for them was new beds. Now you're probably wondering, what kind of beds did we buy them? But we bought them inmates all new beds. Anybody want to guess what their beds are? No. Alvy? No. Well, their old beds are worn out. And that was cardboard on concrete. Cardboard and concrete. They were worn out, more maybe more soiled than maybe more of a stench or a smell than worn out. But we were able to buy them new beds. And we upgraded their beds this time. We bought plywood. Quarter-inch Luan plywood. That's going to be their new beds. They have no pillows. They have no blankets. They have nothing else but that plywood. I do have a short message on my heart today that I'd like to share, and I'm going to have to move on. But as I ponder on those things, I have a letter here, a testimony that I'd like to read off to the church. In fact, I was asked by this dear brother in the prison to read this to the church. He's in a pen with about 27 other inmates. They do have three bunk beds in the cell, and I assume, and this might not be right, but I assume they may trade off. But those bunk beds have for mattress also just a piece of plywood. So I assume these inmates trade off on these beds, but it really wouldn't make any difference. It's the same material they lay on. They would just have a little more privacy. Otherwise, these inmates lay in this room, and they have to be laying. They only have at least, at the most, 18 inches apiece. And in that situation, they find their position in Christ. They find their position in Christ. I'm going to read you a testimony of a dear brother. Keep one thing in mind, that this man here only heard the true gospel just a few times. A few times. To all the brothers and sisters in Christ, in the name of our one God, the only Savior, Jesus Christ, kindly accept my best regards with love. I want to share my life through testimony and hope that this message of mine will bring an encouragement and lesson how to be strong with God. A few years ago, my life was so dark. Lots of women, drugs, and evil ways. And all evil ways. That's my life. That was his life. I had Christian friends always invited me to go with them on the church, but I ignored them all. It's because of the lifestyle I had. Listen to these words here. I was so happy during that time, but I was never satisfied. That's a message for us, brothers and sisters. I had something I had something that I wanted to, but I don't know what it is. I mean, you kind of bear with me here. It's a little bit. Till the time came, I'm arrested and dealing drugs. Now I'm here in Bataan District Jail. I will never regret that I'm here now in the prison. It's because of something that I wanted to be is here. I found it here, the Almighty God. The real treasure is here. The only thing I wanted, God and His words through Jesus Christ and His love. I'm so happy and fully satisfied. I've got true liberty. Does that tell you something in here this morning? I have true liberty. He saved me from the fire. Before I doubted from the love of God, I'm always pray, oh God, show your love on me. I want it proven. Then He touched my heart. I feel it. And He asked me, why are you doubting me? Accept and trust me. I will give you life eternally. I said amazingly, wow, thank you, Almighty God Jesus, for having me this life. Time passed, the Typhoon Yolanda was arrived, and he went on to say about that. And again, there's some things in here that I want to say carefully, because we seek no honor and glory here by no means. And I think you understand my heart there. But these men never really heard the true gospel. And through all that, he had some struggles, and then said, Sir James Marlin and the church delivered here the words of God. They preached us about the love of God, how to be saved from hell. The first time they're here, I felt simply because there's a lot of. He was thankful about this. I kind of got this because of so many religious groups in there. That's the one thing I want to pray for them, because there are religious groups going there and they don't. It's dead. And they are realizing that. He said because the religious groups come here weekly and do what they had done, and they don't get anything out of it because it's dead. And I thank God for the gospel that did go in there, because they remember. The last portion of this here is just thanking us for being there again this time, Brother Benji Bryan and myself, and asking for prayers that they can continue on, grow in the truth. And his name, he signed his name, I love you all, my dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, lovingly yours, Brother Yamal Riviera. If a young man like that, in the situation that he's in, can find his position in Christ, what's wrong with me that some days I have such a hard time finding my position? The wardens and everything, also all the warden and staff there, supposed to say a hearty thank you for what the church has done there for them. Sometimes I sense that maybe just bringing the money there might be, I say this carefully, but they might be using that possibly to get us there. I'm not sure. We need to be careful with that. So I'm not sure how, if we're gonna, we can continue to do that. Because if you take money in there and bring them things, you know, people are people. They'll just let you come in and they'll let you do your thing because you're bringing money. And that's not where we want to be. So we want to tread carefully. But I don't sense that here. But again, pray for that situation and continue to pray for all the inmates in there. There are, I think if I remember right, there are three others that shared their testimony before we came home. I have them with me. We're not going to take time to read them. But I believe that the Spirit of God is moving in that place. I think that's all I have for that. Again, it was good to come back home and be a part of the body here again today. And this morning I have a message on my heart. Title maybe would be Christian Life and Service. I believe it goes well with what was shared, Brother Jerry, Brother Benji. And I'm going to be preaching mostly from Romans 12 today. I think a Christian life is made up by the way, unless we find our position in Christ, can I say this safely? Forget living a Christian life. I say that carefully. I'm going to read the first couple verses in Romans. Actually, I'm going to read the entire chapter at the beginning. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me that to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according unto the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or in that teaching, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation, he that giveth. Let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love without dissimulation abhor that which is evil. Cleave that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulations, continuing. Instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I feel kind of this morning that is really all I need to do is read that and take my seat. And I don't have a lot to add to it. I really don't. On the first couple verses, how do you become a living sacrifice? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let not thine eye look unto no evil thing. Let thine tongue speak no evil. And you will be becoming a living sacrifice. Let thy hand do no lawless deed. And you will become a living sacrifice. This is not a... To live a Christian life is not child play. It's serious. If you wouldn't... And I know we encountered it here in Fort Wayne. The need for the gospel to go out to the lost and dying world. It is necessary that we get in Christ and He in us, that we can take it out. That we are a living sacrifice. Lay off all the foolish things and find our position in Christ. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the first and foremost thing that needs to happen. That the mind needs to be renewed. It has to forget everything that was old, and all everything become new. Thank you. Until you get that mind renewed and turn away from the way you were going and turn to the ways of Christ, then you won't know what is acceptable and perfect will of God. Because it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. All things become new. You become a new creature. You become a Christian. And by the way, everybody you walk up to on the Bantayan Island, Philippines, yes, I'm a Christian. And many other places, yes, I'm a Christian. You ask them what that means, and that's about as far as it goes. That's about as far as they go. Amen? If you haven't been renewed in the mind, then that's about as far as we'll go too. Oh, we're this, or we're that. That's where we end up. Oh, we're this or we're that. Have you been renewed in your mind? That's the beginning of your Christian walk. That's the beginning of your Christian life. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think. But to think soberly. And sometimes, I'm talking for myself, sometimes we can get a little puffed up, you know. We think we have a certain thing figured out and we can get a little puffed up. That's not being soberly. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Not everybody in here thinks exactly the same. Brother Bob over there, he thinks different than I do. Maybe in a lot of areas. Maybe. But I trust that we are in one according to this. According to the Word of God. And even I say this carefully, even in that aspect, maybe sometime we ought to be careful. How to say, no, you're wrong. It's my way. I got it figured out. I got this figured out. You don't. I think we need to be careful. That's not doing service for God. That's service for myself. I don't want to be there. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according. Everybody's different. Everybody says some things a little different, acts a little different. But if we are united in this right here, it will show in all aspects. In all walks. It'll show. And that's what it's wanting us to do. Be united in this, in the Word. Verse 9 has been been meditating on verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. And that simply means without hypocrisy. How can you love somebody with hypocrisy in mind? I don't know how, but evidently there's a possibility. because it's saying here without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. This is Christian life. By the way, the heading of verse 9 in my script, my Bible says, the Christian and those within. Those within. So we love. So I love everyone in here without any hypocrisy in my life. So you abhor evil, and I do too. And we cleave that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. I think Brother Benji crossed that one. Preferring one another. Hey, brother. You have something on your mind you need to share with me? Do you maybe have something against me? Let's hear it. Preferring one another. That's Christian life. And service. For Christ. Verse 11. This is so serious, brothers. This next verse. Be not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulations, continuing instant in prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. How do we stand with that one? Yeah, I know we made money up for Leonardo and all good. We made up a donation for the prison, all good. But what about within here? What am I doing if I have a brother that may not... If I have a brother in here that has a necessity... What am I doing with it? Because it's saying here that it's very possible. Distributing the necessities of the saints given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. I believe we had an experience of that in this body in the past. Brother Jerry and Sister Ada lost the two daughters. I believe they can probably talk about this more than what I can. To rejoice and to weep. But I believe it's necessary that we do these things if we want to be part of that church that is sold out for Christ. Sold out. No matter what may come. Be of the same mind one toward another, and mind not high things. But condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I believe there's some warnings here in this verse that we need to. And I'm not sure if I have time to explain all that. Don't know if it's in me to do that. But I believe there's some warnings here. Mind not high things. What are things that we can be mindful of that just could be a little high? I'm going to move on. The next portion of the scripture, the last several verses, says the Christian and those without. The Christian and those without. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible. Let's back up there. I'm going to read 17 again. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, it says. So I believe it's talking about men that we are associated with on a daily basis. Christian or not a Christian. I believe it's very necessary, brothers and sisters, that we walk. That when you, like Benji mentioned, when you walk away, wow, that man is a Christian. If it be anything other than that, is evil. And your Christian life I'll just let it there. Very, very vital, this portion of Scripture, that we walk honestly in the sight of all men. As the Bible does say, if we fail in one commandment, we fail them all. The next verse, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. I had an experience on the way home that I wanted to lash out. My flesh wanted to lash out. Benji and Brian were ahead of me. And by the way, going through customs in Chicago, I think you go through one, two, three checkpoints, I believe. We all made it through the second one. Benji and Brian made it through the third one. When it came up to me, the guy said, you go down that line. I had no idea why. But little did I know that I believe it was because God was putting me to a test. I was tired. We had this 4-hour Chicago trip ahead of us yet. Just come off of a 12-hour plane ride, and I was tired. And I just wanted to go just as fast as I could right behind Benji and Barry, or Benji and Brian. Of course, they went. And I went that way, and they never saw me turn, so they didn't know where I got to. And I was standing on this line, waiting for the officer over there to call my name, and my phone rings, and it was Benji. So I get it out, and that guy goes, put your phone away over there. You're supposed to answer the phone in here. So I put it away, and I said, wow, what did I get into here? So I put it back in my pocket, didn't give it a whole lot of thought, and well, it rang again. So I figured I'd try to put that phone away over there. You're not supposed to answer the phone in here. So here's Benji trying to figure out where I was. By the way, 15 minutes passed by now. And I'm still standing in line. Benny's trying to call me. They don't know where I'm at. So the intense was just getting serious, brothers. I wanted to revenge. But they didn't care. So finally he got me up there, asked me a few questions. And I figured, well, just a few questions or let me go. Phone rings again, but I didn't get it out. Then he said, well, lay your bags up on the table. And this man literally went through every bag and everything I had in my bags. Plus my billfold. Went through my billfold. Everything is in my billfold. Went through it. And I was standing there. What? He took my Bible out of my satchel and he opened the Bible. Now, then's when I wanted to say, just read a few verses. That's what I wanted to say. Just read a few verses. You might. But I just sat back. Because I knew anything I would say would make matters worse. I bought a Philippine phone there at the Philippines to bring it home so Marlon can take it back over. By the way, it's there. You have one. And he got this phone out. He said, will this thing turn on? I said, yeah, it'll turn on. Where'd you get this? And on and on. So he opened the phone. He went through all the phone numbers. He sat there and time was going past, just flying past. He was looking through my phone, just no hurry whatsoever. Well, he went through my backpack. He had that all ransacked and laying on a heap. Then he opened my big suitcase where all my dirty clothes were, and he went through everything. Finally he got to my camera, and I said, oh no, I hope he don't go through that camera. Because I had all the pictures of the jail, things that took place in the jail, and I thought maybe this would stir up problems. You know, I didn't know. But he did. He took the camera out of that satchel, opened her up, went through every picture that was in that camera. By this time, by this time, my phone was laying on the belt, and it started ringing and vibrating. He said, don't answer that phone. Here was my backpack on a heap, my big suitcase on a heap. Now guess what he does? Oh, you can pack everything up now. And he walks away. That was a test. That was a test for me. But praise the Lord, I got victory. I was able to say, have a good day. And he let me go. And I still today don't know why Benji said it's possibly because you look a little bit like a Muslim. That's well, why did he choose you? So anyways, that was a challenge for me. And I thought of this verse immediately when I read this verse. I thought of that episode. But if we're in Christ, and Christ is in us, I know we sit there and we bow everything back, but you're able. He is able. He is able to do all things. He is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. Amen? And not without a battle. I'm just going to read the rest of the verses and in the closing. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I believe if I would have reacted any different in that situation there, it would have turned out a lot different. They'd have probably had me somewhere in a room handcuffed because I don't know what they was after. I want to say thank you again for praying for us in that journey. And again, I want to bless you all.